Welcome back to the podcast and this episode. This one is a special one because we have invited clients of mine, Kerry and Tom, to come and share their beautiful birth story with us. Now, this is a special one, I think, because Tom is also joining us. It's mainly normally the mums that come on that share their stories. And the fact that Tom wanted to come on to also share his experience as birth partner and father and share what they both experienced together, I think is a really special one. So this is a really good one actually potentially to share with your birth partner, because in the interview, Tom shares his perspective and how he was involved in supporting Kerry throughout this journey. And they even talk about the journey of becoming pregnant and how they both really called in their baby, did a lot of self-work to ensure that they were both mentally and physically ready to bring and call in their baby girl, Clover. And it was a very spiritual experience even for both of them. We hope you enjoy this episode. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And remember, if any of you would like to work with Nicola or I in preparation for your birth, we have a number of different options available, from online support, face-to-face. We've got courses available. You are not alone on this journey. So please reach out. We would love to support you as you also embark on this journey to birth. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents. Well, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Nurture Hub podcast. Today, we actually have a couple that's coming on, and I'm so excited for this because we've actually not had any dads share their side of the birth story. So without further ado, we would like to welcome in Kerry and Tom onto the podcast, where they are going to share their journey of pregnancy, birth, and now they're still very much in their postpartum. But welcome, guys. Welcome.
Hi. So excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely excited.
Yeah, beautiful. So tell us a bit about yourselves. What was your journey like to, this transformational experience you've just been through? What was it like?
Yeah, cool. So what, we met 4 years ago?
Yeah, next month, 4 years.
Yeah. And I always knew that I wanted to be a mum. I'd been a nanny for 15 years, actually, before we conceived little Clover, who's now 5.5 months old. And actually, I had a past of endometriosis. So I had 2 surgeries, one at 18, one at 28. And I remember at 28, before I'd met Tom, thinking maybe I should freeze my eggs now because I really want a baby. And if I did it on my own, like, that's absolutely something I'm open to. And then we happened to meet the following year. I didn't choose to freeze my eggs, and we met the following year. And it was within the first 6 months we'd already started talking about wanting children. So that was really exciting, and knowing that that's something we wanted together. And it's actually quite funny that, like, I wanted children for so long, and then when I would bring up the topic with Tom, he wasn't yet ready. And so we'd have these conversations every like 6 months or so, where I'd go like, is it this year, is it now? And he's like, well, maybe not yet. And then the time that he came to me and was like, I think we're ready, I was like, no way, we're not ready. So we kind of did this for a little bit where he was ready and then I wasn't. And then then we had the conversation it was early June and last year. Yeah. And we were like, yeah, let's just give it a crack. And I had the in my mind that it would be, you know, at least 3 to 6 months of just allowing a few cycles to go. And turns out that we're just highly fertile, and it was the first time we tried, I think.
Yeah, I think we got it in one.
Great. I love
Yeah,
that.
we were like that, my husband and I, and I think he was hoping it was going to be at least a few months of giving it a go. But so what, when you found out you were pregnant, what was that like for you guys? And now starting off that journey, what were the considerations you made to preparing for the birth? Well, I think for me, it's probably been like a decade of preparation in terms of my body, right? Like, maybe not consciously being aware that I'm doing this because of having my body in great shape for conception, but I had started a journey of, removing different products from my life, changing things I was using in the house, like being mindful of my environment. Doing mindset work, that kind of stuff, to start preparing my life the way that I wanted it to be. And meeting Tom was obviously part of that journey as well. And then with Tom being on board, we had a lot of lifestyle things that we were really focusing on, having our bodies, preparing our bodies to be the healthiest that they could be. So, regular chiropractic adjustments and things like that, that was important for both of us.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and for the most part, we were eating like organic food and things. And I guess the preparation for me a bit more was, so I've got a gardening business, and making sure that that was running well so that I could take time when we did conceive, to be able to help out a little bit. And then once our baby was actually here, be able to spend more time and not be a present parent pretty much. Which I know a lot of men don't actually get to do. So I'm really grateful that we got to put that in place prior to the birth, so that I could actually I've been able to spend a fair bit of time actually, with Kerry and Clover over the last 5.5 months. It's been really great.
Yeah. So that was all kind of unconsciously happening in a way, because we knew it was something we wanted in the future. So Tom building his business and us both doing personal development and being mindful of what we're consuming, both what we were eating and what we were listening to and who we were hanging out with and those kinds of things. And because I have a past career as a nanny, I'd been consuming so much data and knowledge as research without really knowing that it was all for this phase of my life. Realizing that all this experience and all these conversations I'd had with so many mums and so many newborns that I'd supported mums with, I'd even had the opportunity to do the hospital to home kind of transition with mums. And there was a family I worked for in England where I was taking, expressed milk on a bus to the neonatal unit. And so I had firsthand experience with taking care of newborns. And then I guess the thing that I hadn't yet experienced was the personal hormone change and sleep and all that kind of stuff. So I think on the practical sense, it felt really prepared with how to take care of Clover. And then having that, yeah, we can talk about postpartum later, but that experiencing that firsthand was a really new experience that made it all feel very, very human.
I
Yeah,
love
and I think
this.
the trust and belief part as well, and having done a fair bit of work on ourselves, knowing that whatever comes up, like, we have the adaptability and the tools to be able to, whatever comes up, be prepared for that. Because as much as like Kerry was a nanny for 15 years, it's still going to be a different experience because it's a personal thing. It's like me being an uncle. I love being an uncle. And one of the great things back then was, I know I wanted kids. However, at the time, I had other things to do, and I know I could give them back. It was wonderful. And now it's wonderful in the fact that I'm not giving the child back. We get to keep Clover. She gets to keep us. We're
So that was a huge part too. I mean, I've had quite a deep spiritual practice for a good probably 8 to 10 years, and really loved the kind of spirit baby aspect of preconception as well. So that's something that we talked about a lot, and we both had experiences through breath work and things where we visualized the spirit and Tom had seen me pregnant through in breath work and visualized some children in a breath work experience, and just having just a feeling of a spirit hanging around. So that spirit baby presence was yeah, very much there for us. Even for like for me, it was about a year before we actually conceived that I could feel the presence of a baby spirit.
I really love
That
that.
was a cool part of it too, yeah.
That's really beautiful. And being able to feel that through your breath experience is, yeah, that's a very powerful experience, which I take many couples on their conception journey myself with my work. So it's really special to be able to talk to that place. Thank you.
Yeah, and recognize that there's so many aspects that have come together for that conception to happen, right? So, the whole idea of how, I don't know the exact statistics, but there's a lot of stars that get to align for a baby to come through, right?
And I actually still say it to Clover quite regularly. I'm like, thank you for choosing us. Because
Absolutely.
I believe she chose us.
100%. That
How
really
beautiful that
is.
conscious conception and welcoming in. And yeah, that's amazing and so beautiful. You're both on that, on the same page with that, like my husband, love him. He's just so not connected in that level, but he knows me though. That's where like he knows me very well and grounds me. And he's very supportive of my woo-woo ways at some point. But and that's where I guess the hypnobirthing was like the first like, all right, Shaz, what's this? Like, what's this hypno stuff? But that's, what, because you guys are master NLP hypnosis practitioners. So I gather it's through the work that you have done that then would have led you to wanting to do the hypnobirthing. Is that right? Or where did you hear about it?
I think I'd known about it through a car. I actually have an old folder that a mum gave me that I was nannying for, and I actually never looked through it. I posted it to my sister. She posted it back to me after she birthed, and I never looked through the folder before attending. Well, I actually still haven't to this day, but we got new like paperwork through you, Shari, when we did your course. So it's probably 10 years old, the book that I got from a nanny friend. So it'd be interesting to see if much has changed, and if there's anything that's extra that's in there that wasn't in there. But I think I knew I wanted to do it for a while. Once we did hypnosis, like became practitioners, it became more important for us.
I think having a like the same thing, having tools and having that preparation around being able to create an environment that's really conducive to keeping Kerry and the baby calm and being controlled as much as possible with it as well. And being able to trust and release control at the same time and have that flow, it's
Yeah, so our learning of hypnosis, and I went on to do a therapeutic hypnosis course as well. So recognizing the ways that I could utilize hypnosis for pain relief was something I was very, very curious about as well. So I guess the whole idea of it was really a personal experiment of how can I, use all the knowledge that I have and put it to the test for my own experience, which we really got to do.
And you said about the pain relief. From what you've said around me, you didn't experience pain during birth, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit later, but I've heard a few other women that I've shared before said like pain is not the word.
No.
It doesn't really have a word.
No. Well, there's lots of different,
Sensation.
yeah. But everyone's
Exactly.
perception, and we learn obviously as hypnosis practitioners, like you learn about perception, and it's being able to understand that we can change that, and it's through different language and looking at things in a different way, that your perception can then change of that, and it comes with practice. As I know that you guys would understand that and be committed to that. And I remember you coming into the course, and it, because you'd practiced already so much hypnosis within yourself and meditation, you very easily could go into that space. Mm. And that's where birth is. It is very much a mind over body experience, but it's not just that. Like, and that's where, like, Tom, for you as partner, like birth partner, I know a lot of guys come in to this experience and are like, well, it's all happening to my partner. I'm not feeling anything. What is my role? Like, I'm just there to go, you can do it. And it's like, but there's so much more to your role as birth partner. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, being that you understand the mindset work, what your experience was through the actual course. Because I'm sure, I don't know, had you ever done any research on actually what happens in labor and birth?
So I know a little bit about things because I've background. So my family, I've got a brother is a pharmacist. My grandfather was a pharmacist. And I've done biomed and did a bit of pharmacy myself. So I've got a decent medical background and knowledge of anatomy and physiology and processes and things. However, I never did a real focus on how childbirth fully works and the chemicals and the actual flow of it and all of those things. So for me, it was really great. So I'm from Broken Hill. I'm from the middle of nowhere. So I'm a country boy. I've been on the Gold Coast for about 20 years though. So for me, it's really cool to be able to have that background of being from somewhere like that, where most people are pretty closed off to things. It's the system. It's even up here, most people are like that. And then being open to the other options that are out there, which are becoming more common, which is great, and utilizing the tools like hypnobirthing. And your course is really cool with like some of the visuals that you use of how like the uterus works and what it's actually physically doing, and the way that oxytocin is interacting with it. And stuff like that was really cool for me, to be able to know what Kerry's body would be experiencing at the time. Yeah, so things like that were really cool for me.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So what was the model of care that you chose, like, in this journey? Because we like to just kind of talk about that, and it because I think – and we've talked about the social conditioning of in our culture, it's very much like hospital is the only way. And I know, you know, you guys chose differently. So what led you down that path in the choices that you made to where you wanted to be?
So I actually wanted, like, before conceiving, I had in the back of my mind that I would free birth. That was just like, it was just what I wanted to do. And I hadn't really thought about the logistics of anything. I was just like, I just want to do it on my own. And then when we conceived, I had two close girlfriends that had home birthed 6 months prior to, well, I think we ended up being pregnant. There was like a 5 week overlap where we were all pregnant at the same time, which was really cool. And they both home birthed before we did. So we were having some great conversations with them and their partners, and just had like a lot of confidence in that being our choice to home birth. And also those two girlfriends, it was kind of the end of COVID times when they weren't really able to have their partners at appointments and things like that. So they kind of said, like, if you're going to have someone support you through your birth, like, you should look for them now, because there are, like, there's more demand for home birth midwives now than there was before. So that kind of I guess had us make some choices a little sooner than I thought that we would. So we engaged in care with a birth consultant around 13 weeks of pregnancy. So we took a positive pregnancy test. I would have been about 5 weeks pregnant. And I remember actually I was home by myself and I found like a expired test in the back of the cupboard. I thought I had one somewhere. I was like, I'll test while I'm home by myself because I just wanted to know. And I took the test and it came up positive instantly. But I was still a bit in denial because I was just like, it just happened so soon. So I didn't say anything to Tom. And I, because it was kind of the afternoon, I thought, oh, tomorrow I'll go get a fresh box of tests and I'll do it again and make sure. Same thing the next day, like instantly came up positive. And then I told Tom the next day. So that was pretty fun. We got a cute little video that I shared on my Instagram of putting the test in the top drawer of the bathroom and him finding it. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
it was great.
So we we kind of chose the less is more method, really. We chose not to have any scans. And that was something we kind of just decided as we went along. It wasn't really a like blanket, we're not doing this. It just came to around the 12-week mark. And I just was like, it doesn't seem like something I want to do. It didn't seem necessary. So we just decided then that we weren't going to. I got some blood tests just to look at my iron levels and things like that. I was working with a naturopath, so that was something she advised me to do so that she could support me with some food. I did like encouragement to support my iron. Other than that, I don't think I even checked my hormone levels or anything. I just knew that I was pregnant, so we just went with that. And then so we engaged in care with the birth consultant at 13 weeks, and she came and did a wellness visit home. So we did all of our wellness visits at home, and she came once a month for the first little while, I think up until about 32 weeks or something like that. And I did decide to do the Doppler heartbeat reading, which I thought that I wouldn't do, but when it was kind of presented, I was like, okay, this is fun. And I thought I'd just do the first one and then see how I felt. And then I decided every visit to do that, which was really cool. And then we just reassessed as we went along the pregnancy, like around the 20 week mark. I was really, really healthy, thriving. There was no concern about anything other than everyone in our circle thinking we were having twins, which wasn't a concern anyway. It's just, I was really big.
Everyone in our circle, including Kerry.
Me, because I'd done about 5 contracts as a nanny back to back before I stopped nannying with twins, newborn twins. And I was like, there's a reason why there's so many twins in my space and why I had so much experience. That was kind of, and when the first person had kind of said, are you sure you're not having twins? And I was like, well, I'm not sure because we haven't had any scans. And it's all going to be a beautiful surprise, whatever happens.
And I'm over here going, look, if we have twins, that's great. And we'll work with whatever happens and stop manifesting. Like, I would prefer to just be able to have one baby and we can work through that. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. And she's like, okay. But I think it's twins. I'm like, no. Like, stop it.
And it was probably about maybe close to 30 weeks, I remember having a wellness visit. And I said to the consultant, I'm like, you'd know by now if we were having twins, right? Like, you'd be able to tell. And she was like, yeah. And she starts like touching as she usually would to see the position of the baby. And she kind of paused for a moment. And I was like, you'd know by now, right? And she was still paused, like while she was watching. And I was like, oh. I started crying because I was like, oh my goodness, is this that moment that we've kind of been waiting to hear that it was twins? And she just took a moment to feel a little bit more and she's like, no, we're good, it's one.
Yeah, I was sitting there while she's feeling and I'm like, you don't have any space for two babies at how big they'll be right now. I'm like, we're not having twins. Okay, just stop it.
Quite a short torso, so everything just went forwards.
Yeah.
There wasn't much room to go anywhere else except forwards.
Yeah, beautiful. So what was the birth prep like for you? Like, what consciously were you doing I mean, I know you're quite a spiritual person anyway, and you had that practice anyway, but
So I had some daily things that I was doing through meditation and things. I don't have a set kind of daily ritual or anything like that anymore. It was important for me early on in my spiritual practices to have that discipline. And I guess now I just tap into it whenever I choose to. And throughout the pregnancy, I'd make a conscious effort every day to connect in with Bob and my belly. And something I would ask, well, two questions being, I'd ask baby and I'd ask source or spirit, what do I get to know today? And just consciously directing it to baby and then consciously directing it to source, and just being really open to however the answer came to me. So sometimes it was, you know, just through a feeling in my body. Sometimes it was a word, sometimes a visual. Sometimes I'd just instantly start crying, or just being really open to whatever the answer was. And there was a few times when I was a little bit emotional, and Tom, you know, had come to me and saying, like, what do you need? How can I support you? And he'd tapped into Bob. And I remember I was really hungry and I just didn't know what I wanted to eat. We were actually in the NLP training room because we assist in that room quite a lot. And I was, I can't even remember how pregnant I was. Maybe July, like September, October or something.
It was fairly early.
Yeah. And Tom just came to me and he hands on my belly and he, I think you visualized an apple.
Yeah. I said, do you have an apple? She's like, yes. I'm like, maybe once an apple. And she goes, yeah, I've got it. I'm like, you've got a little one in your bag. Yep. Cool. Went and had that. She's like, that was great. That was perfect.
So, and I don't like apples. I don't like the feeling of my teeth. Usually I don't like apples. So it was quite weird that I was like, I just don't know what I want to eat. Like, this doesn't, because my appetite was changing. And Tom like tapped in and was like, baby wants an apple. And that was really cool as well. So Tom was able to kind of tap in here and there. But that question every day of, what do I get to know? And often, yeah. But oftentimes it was emotion, like release emotion, be still, take action. Like, there were really distinctive answers that I would get. And I really, really loved that daily practice. And that was as simple as it was for me. Just, what do I get to know today?
And do you think that you continue that practice now with Clover here, the same thought process?
It's interesting. I had this conversation with a friend recently, because on my spiritual journey, I have in the past felt as though my spiritual practice was separate to my everyday practice. It was like, this is spirituality and this is everyday. And what I've realized throughout my pregnancy and the birth process is that I believe they've, maybe not just pregnancy and birth, probably prior to that it was already starting to happen, but I feel like it really came all together, and really recognizing that they are the same thing. And so since Clover's been here, I said to my girlfriend a few weeks back that I'm like, I'm feeling confused about my connection, because it used to be separate, where I go, okay, now I'm tapping into spirit connection, whereas now it's so one, and Clover's here, right? She was that spirit that came through me. So it's like, it doesn't feel like I need to tap into anything. It's there in front of me.
You are the oneness now. Yeah,
which is really interesting, because I can still tap into source quite quickly. For me, it's like up and to the right. Whenever I tap into source, it's there. And I can do that for my own like downloads. And with Clover, it's just, she's there, I'm there, and I feel quite connected to her. And I mean, most days it's just a guessing game anyway, what she needs and what she wants. And if I try something and it works, then I'm like, oh, that was easy. But if it doesn't, I try something else, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful. And it sounds like, for the average person that's listening to this, it may sound really, as you said before, show, like really woo-woo and out there and whatever. And like me coming from the country, I've learned to just trust that if something comes up, if I just see a picture or a word comes to me or things like that, I go, oh, we'll just try that. Or maybe it means nothing.
Mm.
Maybe it's bugger all and it doesn't mean anything. And potentially it could work, or that's the answer that is supposed to be there at the time. So I'm just like, okay, cool, whatever.
And Tom's quite used to hearing you speak this way. I think we were reflecting the other day on our second date, how we're sitting across from each other at the table, and I'd only very recently started to visualize a lot more, where I was seeing lots of colors and geometric shapes and things. And he's sitting across the table from me, and we're talking, and I just said, oh, you've suddenly turned into just eyes and like an orb of purple. And he was like, okay.
Here we are sitting in this vegan restaurant in Byron Bay. And I'm like, well, we met the night before. I was like, all right, cool.
And as I was saying it, I'm like, this is weird. And like, if he wants to see all of me, here I am.
He didn't take
not
the
seeing
vacate.
All of me.
Didn't vacate the toilet and never come back.
So I think it wasn't a surprise to him, I imagine, that I was choosing this path with our pregnancy and care model.
Most of our life is far less like that than now.
Yeah.
So tell us about your in readiness for your birth and the beginning of birth for you.
So we met with Shari, I think we were around 27 weeks or something, which for the group that we were in was quite early. I think the rest of the group were a little bit further along than us.
Mm.
And that was a huge piece of the puzzle for us. So having like all the great affirmation cards and things that were in the little welcome pack from Shari, they were great to have up on the wall straight away. That was one of the tasks, I think, on the first day, to put them up on the wall and share a picture in the group. So I really loved that. And also our birth consultant would bring along images as well. I've actually got them here because I'm giving them to a friend. So they're ones of like the anatomy of body and stuff. So there's lots of pictures of spiritual pictures of women's bodies and stuff. And so I had them all kind of mixed in together with Shari's affirmations and those images. So just kind of stuck around the house, and some things from the birth consultant of, I can't remember at what stage, probably like later in the pregnancy, she'd give us little cards that would say like jiggle, jiggle, or like things to remind us to like jiggle the hips and different things that we could do to help loosen up the pelvis. And again, chiropractic adjustments was something I did probably almost weekly towards the end of the pregnancy. And I've continued that postpartum as well. So the house being, oh, we also did a, we did a family blessing instead of a mother's blessing. So Tom was involved as well, because what we realized is that there wasn't much available for Tom to, because we were thinking we'd do separate mother's blessing and father's blessing. And he was like, well, we'd just go play golf or something. And
I'm not going to go down to the pub and go get drunk. Or it's like that's the complete opposite of what you want a baby to experience. So I'm like, well, if we do it all together, we can have a family blessing, and it's for all of us then.
Yeah, and that was really cool. So a lot of we had about 30 people in our home, and we had this beautiful grazing table, and we had like a circle ceremony. So the women shared their experience as a daughter and as a mother, and then the men all shared their experience of their father and something that was present for them. And a lot of the men shared time. They either remembered having time with their fathers, or they remembered not spending time with their fathers. So that message of like make time for your family was really present for the men. And then we all got to be connected with the red thread all the way around. So the men were involved as well. I've got one on at the moment for a beautiful girlfriend. It's actually the same reel of thread that I had at mine. So the same lady hosted for mine. So that was part of our readiness. So that felt really, that was about 8 weeks before we birthed. So the house felt really light. And at that stage, I already had kind of the fairy lights and the things up in the window where I had planned to birth. And so that had been up and ready for a couple of months, which was really fun. And then the wellness visits, that was kind of really all the prep that we'd done. And then I had the the recordings, the affirmations from the hypnobirth course, and then just some, I would just search occasionally on YouTube if I was feeling a little uneasy, or I'd just search for a meditation or something and just choose a guided meditation whenever I felt like I needed it. So that's probably all the prep we did. The birth consultant brought along the birth pool as part of the package. She would bring any little homeopathic remedies and things that would support me at the time. I did drank a lot of nettle tea from as soon as I met our birth consultant. So that was something that I medicinally took the whole way through, was nettle tea, and then adding in the raspberry leaf towards the end. And just intuitively eating, that was huge for me because I was vegan for 7 years prior to conceiving Clover. And then all I wanted for most of the pregnancy was lamb chops, breakfast, lunch and dinner. Well, at least from about 6 months of pregnancy, I reckon.
Yeah, I think the naturopath was like, look, if you're open to it, I'd recommend maybe eating eggs because of the protein and the good fats in it. So Kerry was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll look at that. And then she started having a few eggs here and there. And then one day she just goes, and I was vegan too at this stage for a couple of years. And yeah, Kerry goes, I just really want bacon and eggs. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I really want bacon and eggs. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go get bacon. So I went and got bacon. I came home and I'm like, I actually really feel like bacon. And that was like, goodbye veganism. Like there's still parts of it that are there as far as I love animals, etc., etc. And I was like, yeah, especially with the work we've done, I was like,
yeah,
we get to choose
what it means for us, and
yeah, and how things are done as well. As far as
where we simply listening to your bodies, aren't you, the whole way through? I've done a similar journey.
I definitely ate very differently to how I imagined I would. Like had no interest in anything green for a good like 16 weeks, and then
spinach was your favorite.
I couldn't even look or hear about spinach without just wanting to gag. It was so that was, yeah, that was all the pre stuff. I think I feel complete there, and the idea of the birth space, like I'd visualized it so much because we'd booked in a birth photographer, and one of my girlfriends, Hannah, I'd asked to be present at the birth. So they were kind of the only two people. And so if we go now into the labor, if we're there yet, the night the morning actually, before we went into labor, I remember this sounds very woo woo, and I'm not usually a numerology type person, but I woke up at 1:11, and the words today came into my head, and I was like, okay, there it is. And then we go into bed at like 10:30, and it was at 10:45 that my water's released. So we went into labor on the day that I had today in my head. So that was on the 23rd of March in the evening, and instantly. When my water, so I actually, right before my water's released, I'd said to Tom, and I didn't really speak like this very often. I said to Tom, the veil feels really thin right now. It could be any moment, and it could be like we were 40 weeks. I'm like, it could be still weeks away. And then said that, and I rolled over to flick the lamp. And the minute I flicked the lamp off, I felt the pock. And so that veil was very, very thin, and she was ready. So we didn't know the gender, obviously. So that was also an exciting part of our journey too. And so I got I had a surge instantly when my water's released. So I was still laying down in bed, had a surge straight away. And then when I stood up, the waters were running down my leg, and we've got this big open plan bedroom. So, the bed's carpeted, and then only like 10 steps away is the bathroom with the tiles. So I kind of just waddled with my hands between my legs to the bathroom tiles, straight into the toilet. And I just put a nappy on straight away. And then actually we'd had a bit of a pest problem in the kitchen the weeks prior, and we just had a pest guy come. So I'd emptied everything from the cupboards. So that night, everything from the cupboards was all over the kitchen table. So my first thought was, we have to go and clean the kitchen.
So we can't have all these things in the videos and photos. I have to clean the kitchen. I'm like, okay.
So I put the nappy on, put a sarong around me, and gone out to the kitchen. We actually had a housemate living with us at the time, and I just said to Tom, like, let's not tell her yet, because I just want her to be able to, like, go to bed as normal and not cause any fuss. So I'm trying to, like, put things in the cupboard, and like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, I was like, had another surge, and I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I think I should go in later.
I'm like, go on.
And I remember in that space of time sitting down and pulling out my phone and looking up Google, like, how long do you have after your water's released till the baby comes? And why am I Googling this? This is just such a weird thing for me to be like looking to Google for these answers, which is quite funny. And I instantly like turned it off and gave my, like, Tom, take my phone. This is not me. So then I was like, okay, we'll go tell our housemate. I said, my waters are just released. Can you clean the kitchen for us? And she was absolutely on board with that, and like whizzed around and did it all. And I went back and laid in bed and was surging straight away. And they were quite intense. And I remember, like, my first thought, probably when I went back to bed, being like, if this isn't active labor, then I don't know if I can do this. Like, I remember just thinking, have we chosen the wrong? Like, is this the wrong choice?
Yeah, because it was immediate.
Because it was instant. And I guess it's hard to really know what stage of labor I was in, but I imagine that I was in active labor like straight away. There wasn't really a pre-labor. And I'd had a lot of Braxton Hicks probably for 6 weeks. So maybe I had been kind of in that pre-labor phase for a while. And some of the Braxton I experienced, I was on my hands and knees, like breathing. And so I had it quite intensely in the lead up. So that could have been the prep as well. And also my mucus plug released slowly over time in the late pregnancy as well. So I didn't have a very obvious mucus plug release either. So we sent pictures to the consultant as soon as the water's released, and then stayed in touch with her via text as anything changed. So we messaged her at about 10:45. Then about 12 o'clock, I got up out of bed because I couldn't lay in bed anymore. And at that point, I think they were already 4 minutes apart.
Yeah,
About one
close to it.
minute surges, 4 minutes apart. And Tom had been messaging the consultant, and I moved straight from the bed to the toilet. And yeah, just being sitting on the, once I got to the toilet, I actually released a big clot and sent pictures to the consultant again, and just sat on the toilet for a little while, and the surges moved from the top of my belly down to my pelvis really quite quickly. Looking at the time frame now, there was probably about 2 hours in it, that I don't really, I'm not really sure where that time went. I must have been in bed longer than it felt. I felt like I was in bed for about 45 minutes, but looking at the text messages, there's about 3 hours between my water's releasing and when I was on the toilet and released the clot. And then I was kind of sitting on the toilet, but not allowing my whole weight. Like, I couldn't actually sit in a seated position, but I wouldn't let Tom support me, like support my body. I was just like, no, I'm doing this by myself. It was a very weird, like, moment of like feeling really like I had to hold myself. And he was saying, like, I'm here, I can hold you. And I just didn't want, maybe I just didn't want to be touched or something. Not,
That was definitely part of it.
yeah, not exactly sure about that. But very soon after feeling the pelvic surges, I started, or I know, actually got to visually see my body. Like, my belly kind of made this like table, like it went down at the top and it was like flat at the top. And first, I think I went to the toilet. I think I did a poo, and I closed the door when I first went to the toilet, and I saw my stomach do that thing at the top. And then I opened the door. I was like, Tom, look what's happening to my stomach. It
It
was
was
like
pretty cool.
really cool watching physical response. And having seen Shari, your demonstration with the balloon and everything kind of moving down to thin down the bottom, and So that happened like two or three times while I was sitting on the toilet. And then we had been in contact with the consultant again, and I already could feel myself bearing down. Like I'd started to see the sides of my lower belly like pushing in, and I'd started to growl a little bit. And then so Tom had messaged the consultant just to tell her what was happening. And she's like, "Do you want me to come?" So this is at 2:05. And then I was on the side of the bath, kind of like stiff. Like I never imagined I'd be so stiff, and like I'd visualized like singing and swaying and all this. I was like so stiff on the side of the bath.
You also thought instead of 4.5 hours, you probably had like 12 hours to be able to just
I imagined chill. The labor was going to be longer, so that it was only 4.5 hours. So I'm stiff on the side of the bath, and there was still blood coming out then. And then we had the consultant on the phone, and she's encouraged me to get in the bath. She said, "Why don't you try and get in the bath?" We skipped a little bit. So the bit where I'd kind of set up the living room with all the lights and all the things. When I first, the waters first released, Tom came out to fill up the birth pool and quickly realized that the pump that was attached to it was a rechargeable pump, and the pump wasn't charged.
So it wasn't charged, and you can't actually use it while it's charging to get power through it. So I was like, I just walked casually back in and started filling up our bathtub, which is a day, it's like a spa bath, so it's an okay size. But I was like, started filling that. She's like, "Don't worry about filling it too much. We probably won't spend much time in here." Like, yeah, cool. And I just left it on and walked back out. Started. I'd set up a tripod and everything with my phone, and started recording me setting up the birth pool. So I've actually got a video of me setting up the birth pool that is never going to get set up, which is great. And then, so that all never happened, and we end up being in the bathroom the whole time. Yeah. It was actually really great because of the fact that the bath and the bedroom are like open to each other.
And I was so stiff that I couldn't even walk. So I was like, no way that I was walking all the way to the living room. I was just kind of stiff on the edge, and we had the consultant on the phone on speaker at that point because she was already driving. She was up at Upper Coomera, so from Upper Coomera down to Mardrubba. So driving, it was about 20.
That's half an hour.
Half an hour or something.
Yes, sir.
So she's on loudspeaker and encouraged me to get in the pool at the spa at that point, and I was just like, nope, not moving. I'm staying here. Like my legs felt like concrete. Like I was just not going to lift my legs at all. And then there was a little break in a surge, and then I was like, grab Tom's arm. I'm like, all right, we're on.
And I was like, she'd been there not moving, and I was trying to encourage her. She's like, no. And then I turned around, and she's like, I'm going. It's the time. Just starts lifting her leg over the spa bath. I was like, okay, here we go.
Just watching whatever I did and following me around. You were so solid though.
So Tom, at this stage, what was going through your mind during these moments of, you know, trying to coax her to move and she was stuck?
I think for me it's like, even though I'm there and present, I'm supporting. Kerry's the one going through it and it's still new for her. So just supporting however I can. If she wants the soft touch, supporting her with that, that's great. If she doesn't want to be touched, don't touch her. Just let her do her thing. It's pretty relevant. I can understand when there's lots of things happening to the body that it's like, I don't want to be touched. Don't add something else. Mm. And the whole time since her waters broke, I was there tempting to time the gaps between the surges and the length of them. So I'm attempting to do that, and I've kind of been asking, I'm like, how are you going? Is it started? Like, is it started or is it finished or whatever? And some of them she actually just couldn't answer me. I'm like, okay, just let me know if you can. Things like that is like attempting to keep a record and track things while still not wanting to be like push her to give me answers or things like that, because I'm like, that's actually just not helpful. And there's lots of the parts where you will externalize things, and there's, you could very clearly see lots of parts where it's like she's very internal right now, and that's where she needs to be. So just being aware of that, and figuring out from my end what I think's best, or just making a judgment. Who knows whether it was the right thing? It all turned out pretty well, so hopefully.
Well, I just remember, like, you being solid. I never felt as though you weren't there. Not that I looked at you very often, but I knew that you were right there if I needed you.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, and I know, like, in the classes I share so many hands-on stuff, but I also say, like, yeah, you know her best. You've just got to read her and feel into her, and sometimes just you being present, like, that's all she needs to know that you've got her, and that allows her to just surrender into, in that moment, what's going on. So, yeah.
And the practical stuff that you shared, Shari, we utilized in the lead up. So, like, the Rebozo techniques and things that Tom could do to support me.
Yep.
The hands-on stuff, we did more of it pre.
Yeah. And that would have helped massively, because all the body prep, all the mindset prep that you did led into that, right, this baby's coming, and she was coming because you'd done all that prep work. So then it was just like, right, you need to surrender into this, as much as we might have this vision of, I'm going to ease into this and we're going to set up the birth pool with all these beautiful fairy lights. And it was like, no, she had a different idea. She was here. She was going to make her entrance into the world. And you both just had to, in that moment, just surrender to that. And I think it's when you have that kind of awareness and connection to be able to do that, I think that's really beautiful. And
there were a few moments, I'd probably say maybe three or four. And I remember saying it out loud to Tom, saying, I've really got to get my head in the game. Like, I remember feeling like I'd get a little bit of fear come up, and then I'd work through it, and then it would come back up, and I kept feeling like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be more calm. I want to be more calm. And that was the phrase I was saying, is I've got to get my head in the game. I've got to get my head in the game. And probably said that about three or four times before I got in the spa. And I feel like once I got into the spa, the whole situation kind of changed. I think I landed in my body a bit more. I definitely was in a trance, I would say, mostly the whole time. And as you'd seen, Shari, I can go there quite quickly. So in the past, I would have maybe experienced the dissociation. However, I could really differentiate in that moment that I was present, but I was in trance. I was in my body and in trance. So it's a similar feeling, however, knowing that I was in my body and present, just in a gentle kind of trance, and different to how I'd experienced hypnosis or trance before. So it was really exactly how I wanted it to be, in the pain relief sense, like being there but not being there. And once I knew that the birth consultant was on the way, I think that really eased my mind. I think also being that I knew there'd be support for us, rather than, because at that time I felt like there were so many unknowns, as there is through any of that process. And we actually, our housemate who was there that night, she was in the room with us at that point, because once she could hear me start to roar a little bit, she came in and asked if there was anything that we needed. And we had kind of chatted beforehand that, you know, that she'd be there if we needed her. And, you know, if the consultant didn't happen to be there, she's like, you know, I'm an extra pair of hands here. And so that was really cool. So Kat actually, I asked if she would capture the birth, because I didn't call the photographer and I didn't call my friend Hannah. I text Hannah about midnight, but she lived an hour and a half away, so she didn't see the text. And if she had, she was still already an hour and a half away. So I just thought that we had more time. And I think Tom did ask at one point, do you want me to call the photographer? And I was like, no, we've got time. So Kat also is trained in NLP and hypnosis, and there's one really beautiful video snippet that we have where the three of us, Tom, Kat and myself, take like this big deep breath all together. And I don't know who initiated it, but we all just kind of were in rapport and just kind of all were breathing together. It was really, really cool. So have some really great footage. And then the birth consultant arrived about 2:30. So I was probably in the spa for about half an hour with her on speaker. And just I was on all fours. That was what I felt like doing. I had my arms kind of up on the edge, and was I was roaring. I wasn't, I imagined being louder, to be honest. There were probably two or three really loud surges, and the rest were really, really quiet, which was cool to watch back in the video. And then when the birth consultant arrived, she grabbed my arm on this, my hand on the side of the bath, and looked straight in my eyes and just said, "No fear, no fear." And we like, as soon as I locked eyes with her, I went to another level of presence in my body. It was really, really cool. And to have video footage of that as well was really cool.
Yeah.
Because I felt this like weight off my shoulders, and that there's someone else. It's not just Tom and I making these decisions or like figuring out what next. Right. And
yeah. And just for being present there, like physically, and even in the leading up to it, taking the notes and things, she's hands on but hands off at the same time. It's like not being and giving too much unnecessarily, but being there for us and being that energy. And I think that was the main reason we actually ended up taking someone on and and choosing her, was just having someone there to make sure that if anything happens, then there is someone there to support us. And it gives us that confidence that, okay, now we get to do this because we've got that covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she's there, but very, like, not standoffish, but back, so that it's us and Kerry being able to do the thing.
And we'd obviously had conversations with her about what we wanted and how we wanted it to be. So we had the huge part of our journey was being educated in all areas. Anything that could happen, we wanted to be educated in that, because I think initially I found myself being like, that's not going to be our story. That's not us. That's not, and recognizing that the unconscious mind does not process negatives. So all I was focusing on was, this is our story. This is our story, right? The language within the knot, I realized, okay, well, there's something there. We'll have to be open to finding out more about multiple different ways that this could go. So that, you know, I had the hospital bag packed. We had transfer papers written up. We had things ready so that whatever course it took, we could go confidently, knowing that we'd kind of covered all bases. And I really trust that that was a huge part of why we got to have the birth that we did at home, because, you know, we'd ruled out everything by being aware of them and being educated. And then doing the mindset work on the visual that we really wanted to do. So after I'd educated myself and Tom had also on all those other things, we then went, okay, those things are possible and this is exactly what we do want. So we focused in on that. And so, yeah, once the consultant arrived, she then like encouraged me to lay back in the bath, because I was like on all fours and putting a lot of weight on my arms being on the side of the bath. And then also asked if Tom wanted to get in the bath as well. So then once Tom got in the bath, I laid back into his arms. So he was on the edge of the bath, which is really cool. And you can see in the pictures and videos we have how I go from like gripping the sides of the bath in front of me to then like putting my arm kind of around his head to like lean into him and actually allow him then to hold me. It took me, you know, almost the whole labor to allow him to hold me. But when I got there, I was like, okay, we're here. And it was just so beautiful. I had a song playing. It was the second song on my playlist. I just went, no, Tom, stop, put that one on repeat.
And that played for like what, an hour and a half or something?
Yeah, just that one song. And so, yeah, I got to just lay back into Tom's arms. The birth consultant was on the side of the spa. She had a mirror that she'd put down for Tom to be able to see whatever was going on. And then at 3:15 was when Clover entered the world.
What was that feeling like of your body birthing your baby? Like in that moment, was it? Yeah, just explain that to me, because it's just such a powerful moment.
So I remember feeling when her head started crowning. I remember I put my hand down to touch, and I remember thinking like, "What is that? Like, that's not a head." Like.
So it was a little bit squishy.
It was like slimy and obviously not, it wasn't round yet. It was just the tip. So I kind of touched and then like pulled my hand away quickly because I was like, what is that? And then you can see in the video, actually, I did this really interesting like hand signal. It's like I was doing like this weird thing with my fingers, like over the top of my vagina. Just like, it was almost like no one else can come in. Like, no one else can see, no one else can come in. It's, but I wasn't, there was space between my vagina and my hand. It was just like hovering. It was just really weird.
And you'd prefaced earlier, like, I want to catch it, or I want you to catch it. Yeah, it's pretty much what you'd said. So I think it was that readiness, but also the protection at the same time. And Kerry said in her head, I think you said, I touched, was like, okay, what's going on? And then moved my hand away.
And all I remember was moving my hand away. I don't remember hovering.
And in the
like
video,
that.
She's hovering in front of her vagina like the whole time after that. It's so funny.
So the crowning part was like really another, it's like those depths of becoming more and more present in my body each moment of like, okay, I'm here. Okay, I'm here. Just getting deeper and deeper. And so touching and feeling, knowing she was right there. And then you could feel the stretching. And I've shared the video with a few people, and one of my sisters, actually, she came back to me like maybe an hour after I'd showed it to her, and she said, did you push? It didn't look like you pushed. And then I hadn't really reflected on it because it was just normal for me. But then when someone asked me, I was like, absolutely no. Like there was no moment where I felt as though I was pushing. And then remembering how much I had like looked into the fetal ejection reflex and stuff. And I guess that was my experience of that, like the growling and the surges that I was having in my pelvis, that was it. That was the fetal ejection reflex. She was coming on her own. There was no moment where I ever felt like I pushed. And she was sitting there for a little while. Her head was sitting there for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Minutes, maybe.
I don't know the time frame, but I did get a chance to debrief with the consultant and just kind of ask some things, because I was really curious in how that experience would have been seen and dealt with in a hospital situation. Because I knew that it was the right choice for us, and I just hearing how so many first-time mamas have had a different experience to what they thought they would, I wanted to just get an understanding of why that felt so important for me to be at home, and how that felt like such like the right decision. And then speaking to the consultant afterwards was a really cool way to debrief and seeing being allowed to go in the water, even though there was blood present, was a huge part, because I know that that's something that's not always available to women if they were to bleed. So I'm really grateful that that was something that our consultant had the knowledge of, to be able to support me to still go in the water, even though there was blood there.
There wasn't much. There was like a little drip down your leg.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like gushing blood or
but
anything.
But the clots beforehand and stuff, some women aren't able to enter the water at all. So
yeah,
having that debrief was really cool to just realize, like just know that it was the exact right thing for us and this pregnancy and this birth. And the feeling of the actual, so she, the top of her head, and then there was the next kind of part, like the middle of her head, and then the next surge after that. I actually leaned back into Tom and I watched the video back, and I said something like, okay, we're ready now. And the next surge, she came out.
Yeah, I really think, awesome. Yeah, head popped out. And then the next surge, her body came out. It's pretty cool.
So I got to catch her in the bath and put her straight up to my chest, which is really, really cool.
Wow. How beautiful. Would you describe it as quite ecstatic, that birthing moment?
That moment, there's a really cool picture actually where I look over at the midwife and my eyes are just like, and it's like, it's so funny to me because the moment right before, you know, I'm so internal and just like clearly slightly uncomfortable, and then the next moment it's like nothing happened and I'm just another day.
So look, I have a baby. This is the best thing I've ever seen. So happy. Yeah,
so cool.
But there's this moment of gathering, like, and I call it the gathering. It's like this moment of like you've got this baby and you're kind of like, I just did it. Like it's you've been preparing for this for 9 or 10 months and you're in this moment, and it's just such a, so how beautiful you caught that moment. Cause that's one thing I so regret is I do not have one photo of me in labor with Harley or that moment. And I remember having it because Damien caught him, and you're just like, like it's just such a, yeah. I remember having it with both my babies, and you got to gather yourself and go, oh, like baby, like come here. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really so special that it's interesting the way that it, maybe not interesting, but having Tom behind me and being able to catch her and bring her straight up to my chest, that visual, when my housemate sent me a few pictures to my phone quite soon after, and I looked at this one picture, it's like an aerial picture just of us still in the bath in that same position, and I looked at her and I'm like, have you seen my vision board before? And she was like, no. And I ran to grab, I probably didn't run, I probably slowly walked to my office, grabbed the vision board, and there's a picture of on my vision board, I've got this corner that was like the love and relationship corner, and so there's a picture of finding the partner, then there's the pregnancy and the birth, and then breastfeeding. It was important for me that all of those things were being manifested. This picture of the birth is a white bathtub with a husband, with the man, woman and baby, and an aerial view. And I just looked at her and was like, okay, so we created this as we created all of it, but the exact, like, we never talked about Tom being in the bath with me. It ended up just happening that way. And so the fact that I have this picture that's been sitting on my vision board for like 4 years, even before I met Tom, and then to have that exact picture moments after birthing was, yeah, pretty amazing.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, really fun. Yeah.
And Tom, and so, emotionally at that moment, what was that like for you? Like seeing Kerry just birthing your baby, like into both of your arms, and like being there so present in that. What was that like for you?
It was really powerful to be able to watch what a woman's body can do, and like so much respect for like what, yeah, the ability that a woman's body has to be able to grow a tiny human, and then get them from inside their body to outside through a hole that's not that big. Yeah. Normally, it's like they came out, you're like, how did you come? Okay, anyway, what, like, yeah, it is really powerful to be able to watch, and like the joy and happiness and the, yeah, it was like amazing to be able to be like, you're here, like you're a little, yeah, amazing, beautiful, perfect thing is that basically was an idea before, like there's a bump on another human being to physically actually being right there in front of me and being real was wonderful. It was so
good. And I think because we'd chosen not to have any scans as well, like for a lot of dads, I've heard that that can be like a connection part for them to actually see that it's you know, really happening, because a woman can feel the kicks and feel the things. And so that was part of why we chose to have the Doppler heartbeat reading at our wellness visits too, because that was the thing that Tom could really connect with, that being inside me as well. And I know that we could have also chosen not to, but it was also a fun thing for Tom to be part of too, to hear the heartbeat. So yeah. I can really, as you're sharing that, just that idea of like, it's actually real, like having never seen a scan or anything before, would have been really cool.
Yeah. And for me with the scans, actually, there was only two reasons for me that I would have wanted us to potentially have a scan. And that was if we actually felt it was necessary because of something, because Kerry didn't feel right about what was happening with the baby or whatever. And the second, which was a little bit present for me, was just having the experience of seeing our baby, like during that journey. So that, and I'm like, we don't need it. And I can experience that without having done the scan anyway. So I get to also have patience and commitment to things to have the baby come, and that's when we get to see her.
We've talked about, like I said, it wasn't a blanket decision of like, we'd never have a scan. In a future pregnancy, we might do it differently. Like, it's not that it's right or wrong way. It just was the thing that we chose at this time.
Wow. Oh, such a beautiful birthing story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. And there's one thing I want to ask you, with the experience that you had with the preparation and the connection that you had with this consciousness of arriving into your pregnancy and into your birth, do you feel that that's given you such a beautiful outcome for your journey into postpartum?
It was really cool experience in those early days of just like, as I've heard many other mothers share, is that just like complete awe of like feeling like an absolute superhero, and like, you know, just in disbelief almost that this perfect little thing was in our arms. And the first month, I actually remember saying to the birth consultant that I felt like I was on like a birth retreat. Like I felt like I'd been so loved up within those first few weeks and that first month, that I was really just flying high, and Clover was thriving, and we had a really great connection with each other. I would say probably around the 6 or 7 week mark was when I started to experience a change in my emotions and hormones. And I mean, I was quite emotional up to that point as well, naturally. And then I started to feel a little stickiness come up of just like how we were quite private through our whole pregnancy because of the choices we'd made. We wanted to just keep the intention was to keep the projection as high as possible, so that everyone that knew about us and our choices and our pregnancy were holding the highest projection for everything going great. And so we kept things really quite private. And same when she was born, we hadn't really told that many people. We told the people that were present at our family blessing and our family. And so I think after a little while, I realized that I hadn't probably asked for as much support as because of our privacy. So that kind of came up around the 7-8 week mark. And then up until that 3 months, I think at about 3 months, I was kind of came out of the newborn haze that I was in. And then I was like, whoa, we did that all on our own. Like, we did a lot of it on our own, which I'm really proud of us for. And it was perfect for whatever reason. Like, it couldn't have been any other way, right? And potentially in a future pregnancy, we might just have more people in our home supporting us, if that felt great at that time too. So it's something that we've probably reflected a little bit on recently, realizing that it may have helped us a little more. And though we did really great at the same time,
yeah,
I think it's a human thing to want something that you didn't have or think that it could have been different, right? It's just the way that it was for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's your individual rite of passage into parenting, isn't it? And and all those new things come up for you just the same as it did in your birthing moments too. So
absolutely, yeah. How can you prepare for something that is so new or that you've not consciously done in this lifetime before? Right?
I think not putting expectations on one particular way. I think that's what a lot of us either feel the pressure to do that or to, and that's what, you know, watching you and, you know, you sharing your journey and sharing a little bit of the postpartum, how you have allowed yourself to just feel into each moment and sit with that and learn from that without an expectation of it should have looked like a certain way. You know, so I think that
and the language piece is so important for us, particularly with our training of linguistics, is that like we get to check anything that isn't working, we get to change. It's we can sit in it for the moment if it's important to feel it, and then okay, how do we want it to look and what else can we do to make that real, for like bring that into existence, right?
Powerful. Beautiful. And now you're like on this journey of supporting other mamas, aren't you? That's like.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I pivoted my career during the pregnancy, really. I'd already been training with NLP and hypnosis. And so from my nanny career, I stopped nannying a little bit before we conceived. And I did a couple of jobs while I was pregnant. But I was pivoting my career to do the mindset and coaching work with mamas. So yeah, everything now is focused towards the mindset support for mamas, and I've created a community called the Integrated Mama. And so it's a place where women can have that support. And you know, I work with mums in all stages of motherhood, whether they are in that early stage of calling in a baby spirit or their early pregnancy and they've got fears coming up, and you know, that fear release prior to birth, I think was a huge part of my journey, and I want to be able to support other women in that as well. And then postpartum and beyond, with having worked with toddlers and older children before, recognizing there's a lot of mindset work that also can support women to parent older children. And then I have the conscious parent education certification as well, so it kind of intertwines all the mindset stuff and the inner child work in all of that. So it's absolutely work that I get to live, right? Because I'm in it right now as well. So the women that I speak with, they're in it and I'm in it, and we get to you know, just be really real about the experience of life and motherhood and parenting and relationships. And yeah, I really love it.
Oh, thank you so much for being in here today. It's been such a beautiful, just listening, beautiful, everyone that's listening, you know, these births are truly possible.
Yeah, and I guess it's recognizing that there's no right or wrong in what someone chooses, and it gets to look how it's meant to for every person. And I think that I haven't shared all that much, because there was some moments where I was felt the resistance within self of how would I want, I don't want someone else to feel as though their story was less than mine, or vice versa, right? So just being able to own our story now, being 5.5 months postpartum, I'm like, that's our story. Like, for what purpose would I hide that from anyone? Because it's so possible, and there's so many possibilities in the way that anyone's birth can go. So
And just giving that inspiration and that consciousness to birth is what you're bringing into the world, is in your story, is that just being conscious and connected together in your birth journey makes so many things possible, whatever the outcome of the birth. So I'm really
having a relationship with self, I think it's probably the biggest takeaway that I've had throughout that whole journey, is that probably the most important part is to be connected to self first.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So nice to chat with you guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, girls.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you would subscribe and leave us a review.
To learn more about our individual online or face-to-face courses or be mentored by us for your own birth, please see our show notes for the links to our programs.